more services locally and reducing dependency on acute hospital, it affords us the opportunity to reallocate those resources back into the community to strengthen our work. So that's obviously something that COSL in particular was very keen on, and is significant in the regulations that have been issued. The Shadow Board is continuing to meet. There's been funding made available for organisational development, £110,000, and that's really about training, development and getting our systems in place. Once the draft regulations are in place, we will then work on the scheme locally. And meanwhile, we're continuing to work on the development of joint services. We now have a single service for people with dementia, bringing together health, social work and the voluntary sector under one roof to respond to people across the whole of their journey with dementia. Our rapid response team's been strengthened, and we're looking as well at extending the hours into evenings and weekends. And we're also working on an integrated learning disability and a substance misuse service locally. So it's really about making integration happen rather than the implementation of the... rather than waiting for the formal go-ahead. The other bit of work is around the development of a three-year strategic plan, and we're, again, work is ongoing in relation to that. Also, the Shadow Board is proposing there's a requirement to consider needs within localities, and the Shadow Board is proposing east-west. Again, localities are really, it's really just the prism or the lens through which we understand needs within neighbourhoods rather than necessarily mean that we split services east and west. And finally, to the recommendations where section 5, where councils asked to note the progress, agree in principle the proposals around locality and to receive further reports on strategic commissioning and the integration scheme.
Councillor Constable.
Thank you, Provost. Yes, Councillor Johnson, my colleague, she is the deputy chair of this board, but it's unfortunate, it's the health and social integration. She's not very healthy today, and so I shall speak on her behalf. So I'll read some of her notes here. Cath attended a meeting with the NHS Lothian Chief Exec and the Chair of the NHS Lothian Board with a very positive meeting, and we're impressed with the approach and the progress to date. We're not just waiting for next April, we're getting on with it. So we're making very good progress on this. As to the locality situation, it's east-west, either side of the A7, I understand, which is a natural division we use for other facilities in Midlothian. So we're happy to move the recommendations.
This report is just for noting. Any other members, any questions or comments to make on it? Okay, thank you. Did you want to say something, Councillor Ponder?
Just very briefly. It is noting the progress, but see, having the NHS staff in Fairfield House, you know, what a benefit to communication that is here. And I look forward to more developments in the communications, and I fully support the locality planned ideas.
Thank you. We now move to item number 23, the future model for community justice, report by Eva McHugh, Joint Director of Health and Social Care.
Thank you, Provost. This report is to inform members of consultation on significant changes that are proposed to criminal justice services. Scottish Government had published its response to a previous consultation on the delivery of criminal justice services in December of last year. And in that response, they're proposing a new model for the delivery of criminal justice services. They're proposing that the CGAs will be abolished, and that local authorities will have a statutory duty with its partners to set up local reducing reoffending partnerships and assume responsibility for both the strategic and operational delivery of services for community justice and ensure that they reflect local needs and are in accordance with the national strategy, which is about reducing reoffending. They've now launched a further consultation, and the response to that is included in the appendix. Significant issues that are included in this consultation, again, it's giving more shape to what will be required of the new service. It's It sets out who the key partners will be, and they're included there in item 2.3. It also highlights that the need to develop a single strategic plan, and that each partner organisation within the community planning partnership will be held accountable for its performance. So that's really the essence of the local body, but it also sets out that there will be a national body created, and there will be a national strategy and a national performance framework that will inform local plans. So it's really that national framework and then the local ownership and the local delivery. In terms of resource implication, at this point there will inevitably be some cost in relation to implementation, given the requirement to redesign services. And in relation to risk, the key risks that have been identified is around this. For this to be successful, we need local partners who don't normally see reducing reoffending as being their business. So really key to this being successful is how well we can engage all those bodies out there for whom working with reoffenders isn't necessarily an activity that they see themselves having a responsibility in relation to. So that's going to be the key risk that we're going to need to work to mitigate. Reducing reoffending is going to need to be all our partners' business, not just the council. There's also, because of our size, there'll be opportunities. We will consider whether we'll have a Midlothian partnership or whether it's something we might want to do with East Lothian and Borders. But again, those issues will be given further consideration as we continue to develop. And again, moving to the recommendation, Council's really asked to note the response to the consultation, and again, in relation to the proposals, on the whole, our response is positive and welcoming of these developments.
Thank you. Councillor Thompson.
Yeah, the response is attached, and I think without going into too much detail, we've previously been supportive of the principle behind local authority model, and happy to endorse the responses attached.
Okay. Accepted. Thank you very much. Item number 24, pre-referendum publicity guidance, a report by Chief Executive Kenneth Laurie.
Thank you, Provost. This report invites the Council to approve guidance on publicity in the approach to the independence referendum on the 18th of September. Last year, the Council approved updated pre-election period guidance. This guidance was designed to cover referendums as well as elections. However, in February of this year, COSLA produced draft generic guidance for councils to address the issues of publicity, the use of council facilities and staff involvement, specifically in regard to the referendum process. The COSLA guidance is not inconsistent with the guidance previously approved by the council. However, it was felt it would be useful to update that guidance to reflect the specific issues raised by the independence referendum and the terms of the Scottish Independence Referendum Act 2013. And the amended guidance has now been prepared and is attached at Appendix 1. And I would draw your attention specifically to the points set out under Section 3 of the report. In terms of Appendix 1, there are two errors that I would like to point out. The first of these is on page 375, under the heading at the bottom of the page, Visits by Politicians, where the third and fourth words, be permissible, should be deleted. They should not be there. It should simply say requests from sitting politicians, etc. The second error is, in some ways, a rather more obvious one. It's on page 379, under the heading of Staff Campaign Activity, and the bottom or the last of the three paragraphs under that heading. It says, any staff wishing to campaign on behalf of either outcome must do so in our time. What, of course, it should say, must do so in their own time. So that's a fairly significant correction I would ask you to note. The Chief Counting Officer has produced a guide entitled Information for Campaigners on the Referendum Process. That's at Appendix 2. And the recommendations are to approve the pre-referendum guidance shown at Appendix 1 and to note the terms of the Chief Counting Officer's guidance shown at Appendix 2. And in approving the revised guidance, I would request that all councillors ensure that they are abiding fully by it with immediate effect, noting that the general duties apply at all times, even if there are also specific restrictions relating to publicity in the immediate pre-referendum period.
Councillor Thompson.
Yeah, I think it's perfectly sensible guidance we have. None of the officers could be persuaded that we should include a vote yes as part of the guidance, but I think I have to accept that and move the report.
We're happy to note and accept the recommendations. Okay, thank you. Item number 25, the fifth review of local government electoral arrangements by the Local Government Boundary Commission for Scotland, a report by the Chief Executive, Mr Laurie.
Thank you, Provost. The fifth review of local government electoral arrangements commenced in February 2014. On the 29th of May, the review entered a 12-week public consultation period to allow local people and organisations to comment on the proposals, and the review will result in the Commission making recommendations to Scottish Ministers for the number of councillors on each council and the number and boundaries of wards for the election of councillors. Now, this report relates specifically to Stage 1, which looks at the number of councillors on each council, and Stage 2, which takes place in 2015, will look at ward boundaries within councils. Members will note at paragraph 2.3 that the Commission proposes that the number of councillors for Midlothian should remain unchanged, i.e. 18 councillors. And the recommendation at section 4 is that the Council is invited to comment on the proposals for Midlothian in respect of the fifth review of electoral arrangements.
Councillor Thompson.
Yeah, I'll be brief. I think, obviously, it's slightly ironic the criteria being set by the Local Government Electoral Boundary Commission for Scotland were about emphasis on growing populations deprivation, both of which Midlothian are, yet they say that we stand still. I think that the Councillor Russell and Councillor Baxter joined me when we met with the Commission, and we certainly made various points, but it will be interesting to see if anything does come out of the actual consultation process, but past experience suggests that the Commission will make up their mind and that will be that. We did make the point, though, that it takes no account whatsoever of the differences in activity between councillors in a small council like Midlothian and those in a large city council, for example. There was comment that there was an additional separate piece of work going to be undertaken on that, but I would have thought that would have been more useful to do first. But we are where we are with this. I think when you look at the potential impact on other councils, we certainly could be in a much worse position than the proposals that are here, but we'd obviously encourage the residents of Midlothian to participate in the consultation and feed into this process, and I'm sure we as a council will over time submit a formal response to the consultation as well. So.
Okay. Any other comments? Okay, thank you. Item number 26, Scotland's electoral future, delivering improvements in participation and administration. Report by the Chief Executive, Mr Laurie.
Thank you, Provost. The Scottish Government has issued a consultation paper entitled Scotland's Electoral Future, Delivering Improvements in Participation and Administration, and comments are invited by interested parties and individuals by the 11th of July. The paper arises from a review of the Scottish local government elections of 2012, carried out by a number of key stakeholder bodies, and some of the proposals that they have put forward are relevant only to future local government elections, while others could apply equally to all elections in Scotland. The common theme is intended that it should help address low voter turnout and low levels of participation. There are a total of 12 consultation questions in the paper. Included amongst these are two pilot project questions which seek views on the possibility of setting up pilot schemes concerning all postal voting and random ballot paper ordering. The Scottish Government advised that they would welcome any thoughts on all or any of these questions, and members' comments are invited.
Councillor Thompson.
Yeah, I'd certainly be keen that we send a response to consultation. I mean, as a Thompson, I'm particularly keen to see introduction of randomised ballots, as I'm sure Provost Wallace is as well. But I think there are other elements and more serious elements to this as well. I mean, we've seen a decline in turnouts over a number of years in local government elections and elections generally. And I think it's encouraging that we have a consultation here, which might not grasp all of the public's imagination, but to at least look at some of the issues around how we can perhaps try to engage and look at new ways to achieve a greater turnout in elections. So I'd be keen that the Council submit a response. I'm very supportive of randomised ballots. And I think further consideration needs to be given to things like the electronic voting, certainly extending the franchise to 16, 17-year-olds. And I mean, I don't know, but there's potentially merit in looking at all postal voting, although personally I don't think that's the right way to go. But there are other ways that it can be done, so just ask Council to note.
Just reverse the alphabet. Councillor Baxter.
Thank you, Provost. Just to show that I'm not, unlike Councillor Thompson, I'm not motivated by self-interest. I also agree with randomising ballot. I've strongly agreed with that for many, many years. I think as well we should look closely at perhaps all postal votes. I know there were experiments, I think, south of the border at one point, and there were issues with it. But it would also mean that we wouldn't have to be closing primary schools, for instance, every time there's an election.
Councillor Constable.
Yes, I agree with about closing primary schools. Why can't we do what the rest of Europe does and shift elections to a Sunday? That could improve turnout and save having to close public buildings.
Happy to accept the recommendation. Okay. Councillor Thompson.
Just on that, so the recommendations for the comments, perhaps if the comments that we've made could be pulled together in a formal response, we could have that agreed. Obviously, the political leaderships, if Council are happy with that, then we can have that submitted to meet the 11th of July deadline. Is that agreeable?
Okay, thank you. Item number 27, a report of the seminar of the Midlothian Council held in the Council Chambers, Midlothian House, Buccleuch Street, on the 3rd of June 2014 at 3:48 p.m.
Provost, this report simply for noting.
Yes, it is. And
I've got a question on it, Provost. I'd just like to know that the second last paragraph above the last sentence, I suppose. Councillor Constable, seconded by yourself, moved at the seminar, welcome the publication of Scotland's future and recognise the significant benefits independence could bring to Midlothian, all in 17 minutes. I just wondered if we could maybe, for the next meeting, if the Chief Executive could maybe give us a report on what the benefits will be for Midlothian, just to save time today, because it would be useful for us all to know, obviously with the referendum coming up. But for such a big discussion, you know, for 17 minutes, it wasn't an awful long time. So, obviously, a lot more brevity than there has been today, but I think it would be useful to get that for next meeting, if that could be done.
You were invited to the last one.
Well, I was actually coming because I did get agreement from the Labour group to arrive, or to go to the meeting. But unfortunately, or fortunately, my daughter had a baby down in London in Greenwich. We were actually colonising the place. And I wasn't present at the birth, but it coincided with the same time as the... It coincided with the seminar, or I would have been there. So all I'm asking for is a report comes to the next council meeting with what the benefits are for Midlothian. I think it's quite simple. It says it in there that there are benefits, so significant benefits actually, so it should be easy enough to let us know.
I'll just reiterate, you're invited to come along and hear the benefits. Were. That's a reserved occupation. Okay.
I think, Provost, obviously, I think I wasn't there. I was ill, sadly. I think, obviously, the seminar was the opportunity to have that discussion, and as Councillor Montgomery and myself couldn't make it. I'd be delighted to have a report in the council agenda outlining the benefits of independence, if that's what Councillor. For Midlothian, which Councillor Montgomery is asking for.
One at a time, please.
I'm not sure if that is, given that we're now in the regulated period as well and the guidance we've just approved, I'm not entirely sure how that would fit if we were asking the Chief Executive to produce that. I'm sure it could be produced, but I don't know if it's necessarily appropriate that it comes from the Chief Executive.
Are we happy to have a report produced by the Chief Executive on the benefits of...
Provost, just I'll ask the monitoring officer to speak in just a minute. Clearly, if any report was going to come forward in relation to the seminar, it would have to be in a private agenda. It would be totally inappropriate for it to be on the public agenda at this stage. But I'll seek confirmation or otherwise from the monitoring officer for that stance.
Yeah, sorry, I was waving frantically to say no, that's, in my opinion, not appropriate at all. Firstly, the report that's on the agenda today really is just for noting because it is just a note of the last seminar. But certainly, in view of the pre-referendum publicity guidance that you've just approved, albeit the next council meeting is not quite into the restricted period, it is very, you know, very shortly before, and I feel that that would be inappropriate under the circumstances at that time. Sorry.
Sorry, Councillor Montgomery, we can't have it. Okay, we're now moving to private session. Could I ask members of the public to leave the chambers, please?